When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. December 17th, Tuesday, as we have our march down to Christmas. And things were pretty ugly this morning, folks, so just be careful with the fog out there. The causeway's closed in both directions. Carlton Dufour Show provided some information earlier on Tommy Tucker's show. Still not able to determine how much longer that bridge will be closed. There are multiple accidents on the bridge at the present time. They're trying to work all of that out, sort it out, and get the traffic moving as quickly as possible, which is always their goal, quite frankly, and they do a damn good job of it, I might add. But just keep in mind, with the fog that's been lurking around, just be careful, right? You never know where you might hit a patch. I was out and about this morning, about 10 minutes to 6. It was bad. It was bad. There was a lot of condensation on the vehicles, and obviously the dew point was there, and it was favorable for the fog. And that's what we're dealing with this morning. It's not unusual. We deal with this every year for the most part, sometime at this time of year. So just remember that. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to visit Tiger Joyce, the president of the American Tort Reform Association. They've issued a recent report that says Louisiana is one of the top judicial hellholes in the United States. We rank 10. We've actually dropped. I think a couple of years ago we ranked 6 or 7. So we'll talk about the definitions of what a judicial hellhole is all about and why we rank so high in this country. At 11:30, the founder and lead curator of the New Orleans Storyville Museum, Klaus Sadlier. The museum's dedicated to the storied history of New Orleans, America's original Sin City, and it's a notorious red light district. Storyville, over 7,000 square feet of engaging and immersive and interactive exhibits, located right there in the French Quarter. Can't wait to talk to Klaus about what you will be able to see. Just another thing that you're able to do in this incredible place we call home. NOLA Coalition segment, Greg Rusevich, CEO of Transoceanic Development, will talk about New Orleans as a safe place to live, work, and raise our family. We've had a number of recent crime surges, some mass shootings here recently. We'll talk about policies that may be impacting that as well. I want to remind everyone, we will be at Metropolitan Health Group tomorrow, 4454 Transcontinental Drive, my old hood. Grew up in that area, and look forward to getting out there and visiting with those folks. But more importantly, it's for a great cause. And they're Metropolitan Health Group's a forward-leaning organization. They really embed themselves in the community, and we appreciate the way that they conduct themselves, and we appreciate their participation, and they're trying to get as many canned goods as possible for second harvesters, money or food. It's been a rough year for second harvesters, and we got to restock those shelves. We've got to make sure that our folks, the people, our friends, the people that live in our community are taken care of, and that everyone has a Christmas meal. My audience really met the challenge and in for Toys for Tots over at H2O last week. We had a huge turnout. We had huge numbers, the biggest ever. So we are very excited about that, and we want to keep this going. For Second Harvesters and Metropolitan Health Group stood up, and they wanted to do this, and we appreciate them for getting involved in doing this. And we'll be there tomorrow from 10 to 1. Come by and see us. It's a beautiful facility. It's an old bank building that they converted into a health center, went in and just remodeled everything. You wouldn't even know it was an old bank building, but for some of the drive-through lines, right, in the drive-through banking. But other than that, you would never know. But they did a great job in transforming that. And if you have the need, not feeling well or otherwise, pop on in right there. They've got a bunch of doctors working there, a bunch of nurses working there. It's easy. It's in your neighborhood for sure. A lot of parking, easy in, easy out, no big deal there. And come on by tomorrow and bring some cans with you as well. So yesterday during my monologue, I also talked about I talked about a number of issues going on with the city, lack of governance, right? We talked about RTA. We talked about the Orleans Parish School Board. We talked about the garbage contract that was complicated even more yesterday morning in Paulette Irons Court, where now the judge is saying that the language that was passed in the ordinance by the city council doesn't accomplish what they think it accomplishes, and these contracts are carved out to the sole authority of the mayor of the city of New Orleans. And here we go again. And if you wanted that, you should have put it in the charter. Otherwise, what you did has no legal consequence. Obviously, the council is going to appeal that. So now we'll get caught up into the quagmire of the appeal process as this thing works its way through court. Meantime, we need a new contractor to come in. It actually owns garbage trucks on December the 23rd. And I think that's an important point that I continue to drive home, is we have respondents to these bids that actually don't own a single garbage truck. They're a front man. Think about that for a moment. You're going to hire a contractor to build your house who owns no equipment. Never drove a nail himself, couldn't put a nail gun together if his life depended on it, never popped a line to make sure things are level, or this, that, or otherwise, just a front man. So that's how we're doing business in the city now. We really believe that that's a good way to do it. We hire a prime. He goes out, or she goes out, and puts together a collection of experts under him. So we're paying somebody to manage those that actually know what they're doing. And he's taken an override on the contract, and you know he's negotiating with the subs and what we have already before they picked up a piece of garbage. Not a singular piece of garbage has been picked up. The prime and the sub have already been at war. That sub has been removed, who happens to be one of the disposal companies that has more experience in the city than most others. And we put somebody else in his place that doesn't own a garbage truck. So now we got the prime, doesn't own a garbage truck. Now we got a sub that doesn't own a garbage truck. And now we got that sub subbing out to another company that actually has some garbage trucks, and they're a Monroe, Louisiana company. Makes perfect sense to me. I mean, if we were all sitting around in the boardroom and we wanted to concoct a structure and our goal was to be the most inefficient structure available to government, we get an A. Make that an A+. And it continues on, you know, as what was going to happen. And now they have an emergency contract, Sidney Torres, who, by the way, owns a garbage truck and does about 70% of the city's work already. And from what I'm told, does it well. I don't know for certain, but that's what I'm told, is now the provider under the emergency contract. So the deadline, you know, what we have to start here is, you guessed it, 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd, and everybody's running around trying to figure out who's on first, what's on second. We've only been dealing with this contract probably close to a year now. Makes perfect sense, and at the 11th hour, we still don't have it straight. So if you're trying to set up a situation or a picture of something that just doesn't make much sense, it's not going anywhere, there it is. Then I get a copy of, and I'm reading this Substack article that was authored by Laura Cannizzaro-Rodrigue. You know Laura Cannizzaro-Rodrigue, the head of Mama Bears, and is really become almost like an individual that's out there just looking at government and what they're doing, how they're doing, and just reporting on a whole bunch of different things that's going out. And she's actually going to be on our show Thursday morning to tell us more about her most recent findings that she outlines. All right, let's stop there. We'll flip to Dave Cohen, WWL News Director, for an update with all of the mess that's going on. Dave?
Yeah, it's now not just the causeway that's closed in both directions, but the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development now tells us the over the Bonnie Carey Spillway on the I-10, both eastbound and westbound between LaPlace and Kenner, they have closed the bridge in both directions due to dense fog crossing the Bonnie Carey Spillway just on the south end of Lake Pontchartrain. So we have the causeway closed northbound and southbound. And now, according to the Department of Transportation and Development, dense fog on I-10 eastbound and westbound has all lanes closed between LaPlace and Kenner. And looking at our live cameras out there, the fog actually in the last few minutes has gotten very thick over the spillway, while most of the rest of the area, Newell, it's already lifted.
Wow. Any reported accidents, Dave?
We're not getting those details yet on the spillway. We're seeing the traffic is at a dead stop, so it's not clear if police have just stopped the traffic from moving so there aren't crashes, or if we have crashes out there. We're waiting that information, but this is just developing in the last couple of minutes here, where DOTD has informed us that traffic is not moving in either direction. And in fact, it looks like, according to DOTD now, the closure may extend all the way also, not just to the spillway bridge, but to the 3 mile bridge between the LaPlace exits, that they've also closed traffic there. So if you have to get from the North Shore to the South Shore, your options are extremely limited now, because even if you come south on I-55, they've got I-10 closed when you get there. It looks like you can get off on US 51 and take airline US 61, but we're seeing traffic building there as well. So far, the twin spans are open and clear if you have to make your way there, and Highway 11. But the causeway is closed and now in both directions, and now also thick fog closing the Bonnie Carey Spillway, both eastbound and westbound on the I-10, Newell.
So things are still unfolding. As I said before, continue to be careful. Drive with caution. I would imagine if this just developed in the Bonnie Carey Spillway, other areas, Highway 61, you know, is close to water as well, could be a problem there too. So just keep that in mind. All right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870. We'll continue this discussion where we dropped off. You're going to want to hear about this most recent article authored by Laura Cannizzaro-Rodrigue relative to Nord. This is unbelievable. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. A lot of fog in the area, a lot of roads closed. Be very careful. We're getting some information on the text line that on the Causeway Bridge, southbound, they're actually turning cars around and heading them back northbound on the southbound side. So obviously they believe that it's going to take a while in order to get some of these accident scenes cleared up. I've got some other techs here. They're waiting on EMS in some respect that are headed out there. So obviously we have a number of injuries. Don't know the number just yet, and some possibly number of accidents, some possible with injuries. That'll take a longer time to clean that mess up. But as the Causeway always does, they are nimble, they react, and they're moving people off the bridge by having them travel against traffic. And they've obviously cleaned up a lane, and they're moving people back off the bridge for their safety, obviously. And then that way they can get about doing whatever they have to do today by taking some alternative route as opposed to waiting hours on end on the bridge. And I think folks are thankful for that. As we get more information, you can trust that we will break in, and Dave will give us the update on what is actually happening when we get it from official sources. A number of folks expressed a little frustration, but we can put a lot of information out there, but if we don't know that it's validated, it's good information, there's no sense in putting it out, right? So we wait for the reliable sources to provide the bulk of the information that we put out there. And Dave is coming in again. Dave?
And we've just seen that Louisiana State Police are now convoying vehicles across the Bonnie Carey Spillway Bridge. We're seeing two lead LSP units now leading groups of vehicles both eastbound and westbound across the Spillway Bridge until the fog lifts a little bit more. So traffic is moving on the Spillway Bridge, but you have to wait for the Louisiana State Police to allow vehicles to queue up and then make their way eastbound or westbound. So it's still going to be significant delays going eastbound or westbound on the Spillway Bridge on I-10 between Kenner and LaPlace, and they are still not letting any vehicles get on the causeway northbound or southbound.
But quick response. I mean, if they're already escorting folks through that area, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and as I recall, this is the first test of the new plan that Louisiana State Police developed after the deadly fiery crashes a couple of years ago on I-55 mm-hmm. near Manshack. At that time, they did develop plans where they could escort traffic similarly to what the Causeway has done for decades now. This is the first time I recall Newell, Louisiana State Police actually enacting this plan.
Yeah, and it's an important area, too, because a lot of people coming from the west headed to the airport, right? A lot of people coming from the North Shore headed to the airport as well.
Yeah, and if you come south on 55 and you can't get onto I-10, that creates serious difficulties there. So they're trying to keep traffic safely moving now, and what they're doing is they're putting one state police vehicle in each, the left and the right lane, and then they are controlling the speed of the vehicles behind them, hopefully to avoid anyone going too fast and rear-ending anybody else when you do hit a patch of dense fog.
Thank you so much, sir, for the update. If anything else comes our way, please let us know.
We'll keep you posted.
All right, folks, we'll get back to this conversation. So anyway, Laura Canizaro-Rodrigue decides to take a look at Nord. And this is the headlines on this Substack article that she wrote. And as I said before, she will be on with us Thursday at 11 a.m. To talk in a more robust way about what she found. She actually visited a number. Okay, all right. We got Carlton Dufresneau joining us. Carlton, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff, how you doing this morning?
I think I'm doing better than you, Carlton.
You had more interesting days than this, Newell, I can't thank you, Tommy, WWL enough for you guys are always great getting a message out when stuff happens on the causeway, and really much appreciate your help this morning. The message. For everybody, the bridge is still closed. We had actually all this started about 2 hours ago. We had the first crash around the 18-mile marker on the southbound bridge. That one did involve an 18-wheeler. Then we've had a total, I believe now, of six separate crashes. There was another one on the southbound bridge just ahead, well, behind, closer to the North Shore. Then we had several on the northbound bridge, everywhere from the 18-mile marker down to the 8-mile marker. We had fog start to come in on the bridge about 8 o'clock this morning, kind of light. Our guys had started a fog log then. This first one appears to be due to fog, but, man, you know this has as well as I do, every crash is preventable. And the message for everybody out there is to, please, no matter whether you're on the causeway or anywhere else, when you start that vehicle, keep your eyes on the road and pay attention to what's going on ahead of you.
Put the damn phone down.
Exactly, man. Look, when we do crash reviews every damn month, we just, forgive my poor language there, we just did them last week for November. We only had 5 crashes on the bridge. But 4 of those 5 were associated with inattentive driving, everything from phones to people acknowledging they got their heads down. And anyway, the message is, please, just pay attention to driving when you're driving. The good news today is we've had multiple injuries, but everybody is going to be okay. All of the injured are transported off the bridge. We did have 2 of my, one of our police officers, one of my motorist assistance patrol, actually got hit by folks, again, not paying attention, even though they had the lights on and all this stuff. But the bridge, I cannot tell you the number of vehicles involved in the crash yet. It may be the largest number of vehicles we've ever had. The positive stuff is everybody will be okay. Because of the 2 18-wheelers, it is going to be a while to get those vehicles off the bridge. One's torn up really bad. And anyway, if your listeners could, if you got to go, come south or go north, I know that it's clearing up on the north end. The south end's still a mess and a half with fog, but please use an alternate route for the near term. We hope to have the bridge opened up early this afternoon.
Obviously, it sounds like some of these accidents might have been severe. Any report of serious injury?
Actually, from what I'm hearing right now, Newell, we have injuries, but none are severe. Everybody, awesome. I've been told, everyone's going to be fine. So that's the good news. And
absolutely.
Again, thank you and WWL for your coverage. We'll let you know as soon as we're able to give you a better ETA on reopening the bridge, but don't hesitate to give us a call.
Our pleasure. Keep the course, and we really appreciate you joining us. Stay safe.
Thank you, buddy. See ya. Bye.
All right, folks, that's the latest from Carlton Dufresneau, head of the Causeway Commission out there, and you heard it. It's, to sum it up, it's a mess. They're still trying to determine how many cars actually involved. They have a pretty good handle on how many accident scenes, but not how many cars or how many injuries. But the preliminary reports reveal that there are no serious injuries, which is good to hear. You know, oftentimes you always, with some of these accidents, unfortunately, we hear about a car going into the water, and it doesn't seem like that's the case either this time, which is a good thing. So back to our conversation that we were having about this most recent article written by Laura Canizaro-Rodrigue relative to Nord. It's entitled, Nord Fails to Provide Recreational Activities, So Our Kids Organize a Sport of Their Own. Killing. Consume that for a moment. The article's well done, and Laura obviously visited a number of playgrounds, maybe almost a dozen, that are locked up and seem to be abandoned. There's no work going on there. There's nothing there. It's all across the city. Just a major, debacle. I mean, neglect. I'm not sure what's going on. But this is where I'll leave this morning, because she's going to backfill a lot of this information for us on Thursday. And I think she even has some new information about this. So Nord has a $20.1 million budget. They have 230 staff members, and they have somewhere between 4,500 and 6,500 kids participate in their Nord programs. There are a number of not-for-profits that are involved also, many of which I've had on this show, many of which have struggled to get additional fields and stuff from Nord, especially the 18th Ward group. Their budget is $2 million. They have a staff of 11 paid, and they have 11,000 kids participating in their program, double the number of NORD. For $2 million, and NORD's budget is $20 million. Louisiana Fire, which is the soccer program that's run out there, they got an annual budget of $2 million. They have 10 staff, and they have 2,000 kids that participate in that. Carrollton Boosters, I'm very familiar with Carrollton Boosters. My kids play there. $1.8 million budget, 51 staff, and they have 7,000 kids that participate in that program, which is more than NORD. So one has to look to see, you know, when you have empirical data that suggests this. Here we are again, another service being provided by the city, and it doesn't seem like as though it's done in a very effective and efficient way. When we look at all the pools, remember we went out on this big thing to develop pools. We have 15 pools available to kids, and I can't tell you the last time that all the pools were open. Again, another failure. And so we'll visit with Laura on Thursday at 11 o'clock, and we'll talk more about this report. But, you know, this comes on the heels of me talking about these other three, you know, garbage, RTA, the school board, all having financial issues, accountability issues, cannot account for certain things, don't have strategic plans for their core mission, don't have capital budgets that make any sense in order to support their core mission, and they're all upside down. They can't account for their money. They overspend. They overaccount on revenue. They're spending revenue they don't even have. They leave. We end up losing a CFO, a CEO in the school system. We have a similar happenstance with the RTA. There's no plan. You're in a transportation business. There's no capital budget strategy plan to replace these buses. They're trying to play catch up. They say, well, we thought everything was hunky-dory because our regulators never brought it to our attention. What? You're supposed to be looking at your organization each and every day. You're getting complaint after complaint after complaint. That isn't a pretty good idea that maybe you're not hitting your schedule of your transport vehicles? That would be the first place that I would go look and do a deep dive to see where we are. They obviously don't want to know. People that don't want to know don't care, right? When you care, you get involved. You go look. You gather information. And you try and improve upon the situation. But if you don't care, this is like mailbox money. Just pay me my check every other Friday. I'll move paper from the left stack to the right stack to make it look like we're doing something. We'll respond to 30% of the correspondence that comes in the office, and the other 70%, they can just wait because I'm busy. I got to look good at lunch. Got to make sure that my dinner schedule is sound and secure each and every day. I got to make sure that people think that I'm a difference maker, although I'm not making a shit bit of difference to much of anything. That's what I see, and that's what I hear from a lot of folks. They're more interested in the trappings of the office than they are in running the office. They're more interested in boasting about their titles than actually doing what their titles suggest that they should be doing. So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, we are burdened with this administration for still too many months to even count. And we don't see anybody really paying attention here. We're traveling all over the world. We're traveling all over the country. We're learning a lot about climate change, and I'm not sure what we're bringing back here. We're spending a lot of money there. Obviously, that revenue stream is about to come to a halt. They've been the beneficiary of having all the connections in Washington, D.C. Not anymore. The beggar mentality, the beggar strategy, will come to an end on January 20th, and then we'll find out exactly how much moxie the leadership in this administration truly has. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.